The Outpost Radio on Demand. Here's Art Young from the Outpost Magazine.
With apologies to Waylon, for more than 40 years, our guest today has seen the world with a 12-piece band staring at the backside of him. Hi, this is Art Young. I'm the editor of The Outpost, and I am a huge, huge fan of Asleep at the Wheel. And this man has seen miles and miles of Texas, and he's got a new book out that is probably going to be a classic for anybody who ever wanted to be a traveling musician. Welcome to The Outpost, Ray Benson.
Hello, Art. How y'all doing out there in the outpost on the outer edges of civilization?
You got it. You're more right than you're wrong, my friend. The book out is got the best title I've ever read. Coming Right At You: How a Jewish Hippie Yankee Went Country, or The Often Outrageous History of Asleep at the Wheel.
our first album was entitled Coming Right At You.
I did know that. As a matter of fact, yeah. That was going to be one of my really good questions that you anticipated. I still have a copy of that record. I mean, it was on vinyl. But so the significance was the first album, or how did you come up remembering all these funny stories? Man, I was laughing from the time I opened this thing to the finish. You had something funny on every page.
Oh, well, good. You know, what it was I started writing it 20 years ago. Because I went, am I going to remember everything? No, but I'll try. So I had I got in a computer, a laptop, and I just started typing and remembering in a very disorganized fashion. And well, at the end of the deal, they came to me from University of Texas Press and said, hey, you want to write an autobiography? I said, well, I've started one. They put me together with David Manconi, the writer, and I said, here, and gave him 70,000 words that I had written, which is a book. It's a long book, War and Peace, I think. But anyway,
yeah, it is. At least War and Peace.
Then David went out with me on the road for like a month, and we talked to him, and he asked me questions about all this that I had written. He said, look, I'm going to take a lot of this music, and then what I don't, I'll write in your voice because it's all over this thing. And basically, so the two of us, really, we did collaborate.
That's great. Well, you noted in the book that Asleep at the Wheel started in 1970 in Paw, West Virginia, playing for the hillbillies there and the hipsters in D.C. Was there some kind of master plan back then? Did you think, I'm going to be playing Western Swing 45 years later?
Well, no. The concept was roots American music. And it just so happened that the Western Swing, being one of those things, along with Cajun music, bluegrass music, honky-tonk music, rockabilly music, et cetera. It just took hold, because if you listen to the first, four or five Asleep at the Wheel albums, there's Western Swing on them for sure, but there's also every other thing. We did Cajun music, accordions, we did, New Orleans kind of rockin' kind of country, whatever. I don't even know what to call it. But, did I ever expect it? No. No, I thought we'd have a good run for 10 years, make a couple of records if we were lucky, and then I'd open a music store and teach guitar.
Well, those plans got derailed, right?
I know, man. Somehow I got involved in these buses and got on the road,
Yeah.
I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. In fact, is that we have a tragedy today. The bus blew an airbag on the suspension, and because of the hurricane, the part never showed up, so we're all going to have to hop on planes, and the crew's going to have to rent a truck and head to the next gig.
The fun of being on the road. Well, you noted in the book, and again, this is Coming Right At You, Ray Benson's new book, that everything you do on stage is a tribute, in a way, to Bob Wills. Did you ever meet him? I mean, what was he like?
Well, that's the most interesting story, really. We didn't meet him. We were on United Artists Records, and for boys, was so impressed with this whole Bob Wills thing that he got Tommy Allspeth, our producer at that time, who was also Buddy Holly's ex-guitar player and had produced Bob Wills in the 60s. And they said, let's do Bob Wills. He's very sick, but let's get one more record out of him. They had Merle Haggard, all the ex-playboys. So we went up to Dallas to meet him. We walked in the studio. He was already in a wheelchair. He had had a stroke and a heart attack. And they said, this is the band that just did Take Back the Pulse on that first album. Mr. Wills just kind of nodded And they said, we're going to take him back to his room. He's going to rest. You can talk to him tomorrow. Well, he went back to his room that night, and he had a stroke. He went into a coma and never woke up. Died 2 years later. So we met him, never talked to him, and it was just like, you know, 40 years later, it's like the passing of the torch. So weird, you know, in retrospect. So kind of eerie.
You ought to see my blue-eyed Sally. She lives way down on Shinbone Alley. The number on the gate is the number on the door. And the next house over is a grocery store. Stay all night, stay a little longer. Dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull off the coat, throw it in the corner. Now don't see why, don't stay a little longer.
Well, you've done a ton of research. You obviously had a very, it still has, as far as I think you still have the stage show about Bob Wills. Where'd you get all that research?
Is it
stage show done?
Yeah, stage show's done. We did film it, although we haven't been able to edit it all, but one day.
Yeah, no, I saw it. It's great. It's great. How did you get all that research? How did you get all that research?
Well, a lot of it was the old guys telling the story. I mean, the great thing was the Texas Playboys were all around. Leo McCullough, Elton Chamberlain, Cleve Johnson, Johnny Gimble, et cetera. And we became good friends with all of them. They were so happy that a young bunch of kids had rediscovered their music, which had really gone underground, gone away. And so we got to hear the stories. You know, I mean, it was pretty amazing. You know, because the oral histories that were passed down to us are, to me, are totally invaluable.
I think so-called Western swing, or whatever you want to call it, will slack off a little while, and then I think some of these younger boys will come out here one of these days with a golden voice, and then it'll build again.
That's why I have this, like, you know, like I have a responsibility. You know, it's sort of like this question of, you know, music's funny. You know, we got 100 years of recorded music now. And in the before the recorded music, everything was an oral tradition. Everything was handed down orally from generation to generation. You had to go to the old guy to learn what it was. So I feel very privileged and very lucky to have been able to sit at the feet of these guys and, A, learn how to play the music, and, B, hear the real history, what really went down. And there's some pretty outrageous stories.
I'm sure. I can't even imagine. I mean, you've just like Wills. I mean, you've had a ton of musicians come through this band. You've had for
over a hundred
people. Now, who are some of those who have started and gone on to other gigs? I mean, just come to mind.
Oh,
100 people, it'd be hard
to
remember all of them, I guess.
Well, let's see. From the guy who started the band with me, Lucky Ocean's moved to Perth, Australia, and he's now a disc jockey, a world music disc jockey on the Australian Broadcast Company. And
nice.
He also plays steel guitar with what's his name from the Eurythmics and Stewart. And he's done great. Leroy Preston had a couple of hit records for Roseanne Cash and songs he wrote, and that was the three originals: Me, Lucky, and Leroy. Tony Garnier's been Bob Dylan's bass player for 28 years, and I started him out. Larry Franklin, the great fiddle player, has played on probably 100 hit country records in the last 20 years as a session musician in Nashville. The legendary Junior Brown was in a secret deal.
Oh, I didn't know that. I love Junior Brown. Did he play that kind of crazy guitar then or not?
No, he was just a kettle steel and lap steel player. He didn't have a good steel. He was a great guitar player, but and he was with us for a little while. Who else? Gosh, I'm missing people.
You've got a current, kind of lineage down from Bob Wills in a young lady who has joined you just recently, don't you?
That's right. The newest member of the band, she's been over a year now, is Emily Gimble, and that's Johnny Gimble's granddaughter. Dick Gimble's daughter, Dick is Johnny's son and one of my good friends.
Each night while down upon my knees, I'll pray that you remember me. And when we're many miles apart, you'll be.
And Katie Shore on the fiddle, who is another little 27-year-old Western swinger from Fort Worth, whose brother is in Mumford & Sons and
Oh, man.
Bruce Horn's blues band, yeah. Ross, her brother, great fiddler. And Katie is just a great singer. I hired her as a singer who happened to play fiddle and went, oh, my God, I got two in one.
Well, it's all your fault. If I'm not sleeping, I live on dreams. Instead of eating, I'm a mess. And it's all your fault.
And these both are, you know, under 30 years old, showing, you know, that there was a ton of really good Western swing players all over America now. And when I started the band in 1969, was when we started recruiting them. We got it all together in 1970. And I couldn't find a fiddle player our age who could play not even Western swing, just country music other than bluegrass. So now there's a host of wonderful guys. In fact, they just added to the fiddler again. It's Ludeker, who's 27 years old. He was the Texas champion fiddle player 3 years in a row at the Palatsville, which is the famous Texas fiddling competition. So we really got some great young folks in the band now, and that's why I got another 50 years with a sweet wheel. Steve, if I can just stay alive, that's all going to work.
You better be living right if you're going to do another 50 years on the road, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I've been living right every day.
Good.
Depending on your definition of right, just define right the proper way. Today, I got here, and I've been playing golf with Huey Lewis in Montana, so that's fun.
Sweet. That's sweet. I love Huey Lewis, too, man. I forgot about your tie to him back in the old days. Well, your most recent record has got some great songs. Speaking of young people and some interesting guests, this record, everybody who follows you know, it's called Still the King. It is, I don't know how you picked all those people from the Avid Brothers to, I mean, I know why you picked Willie Nelson. You've got Pookie LaFarge on there, is one of my favorites. I mean, how does this Bob Wills music that was originally recorded in the 20s, how does that still sound fresh when you sing it and Willie sings it and Pokey LaFarge sings it? What is it about those tunes that work so well?
Well, Pokey sounds like he was born in 1920. I mean,
he does.
Took my wheat down to get it ground. The man who runs the mill said the mill broke down. What's the matter with the mill?
What's the matter with the mill?
What's the matter with the mill?
And what's really interesting is I talked to him the other day, great guy, and a knowledgeable, he's like us, we were amateur musicologists, you know, who happened to also play. But it was funny, we were playing in his hometown, and he said, my mom's going to come see your show. And I was signing autographs, and I hear this voice off to the right, and it was this, had the same quality that old Pokey did, and his lady said, hi, my man. I turned, you're Pokey's mom, I could tell from the sound of your voice. It was so funny. But anyway, the way that we, you know, did all this was my son co-produced the record. And Sam's grown up. He's 31 years old, and he's grown up, you know, obviously, with the music. And he would, suggest guys. And I've kept up with all these guys too. The old Crow guys, you know, I sought them out. I heard the record. They were in Austin. I said, I got to go meet them, because that's what we were doing in their own particular way, but going back to roots music and trying to bring it up to date and relevant for their generation. And so that's what this whole project was all about.
Well, the honky tonks in Texas were my natural second home. Well, you tip your hat to the ladies in the Rose of San Antonio. I grew up on music that we call Western swing. It don't matter who's in Austin, Bob Wills is still the king.
If you haven't had a chance to get a copy of this, the guest list on Still the King and Ray Benson, obviously, is leading the charge, is just stunning. I mean, it's interesting. This book, did you come back to the book for a second? You have so many things in the book that talks about how, you know, insights about how to be successful, you know, much less survive being a professional musician. What do you attribute your longevity to? Is there one thing, or is there a bunch of things?
Well, the one thing that my mom always said, and my brother said, well, you just never give up, you know. And it was very frustrating for them when I would argue with them.
Yes.
I'm an eternal optimist. I know everything's going to be great, even in the darkest times, but there have been many. And I just always feel that if you can get through today, tomorrow's going to be better. And I also felt a responsibility at one point to the music. You know, said, wow, you know, people, we had some really dark days. After disco and everything, 82, 3, 4, it was really bad, you know. And but every week, once a week, somebody would come up to me and go, you know how important you guys are? You're playing this music and nobody else is doing so well. Don't stop. No, I went, wow, man, this really, you know, passionate people saying this thing. And I just went, this is something that is very special. That's what I realized earlier. But this is very special. I need to make sure that this thing, which has been a conglomeration of many talented people, and my abilities have been that I was able to convince people to come join this circle. Anyway, so it's really cool. I mean, I'm 64. I'll be 65 next birthday, and it's a great thing to think that, all right, I did that. I really did that because it is so difficult to keep a band on the road for 45 years.
Oh,
playing
my God.
Playing the kind of music that is not exactly mainstream.
No, 12 pieces. I can't imagine feeding all the mouths for that many years.
Well, now we're only 7 or 8 now. 8.
Is that right? Well, that's still a bunch of folks. I mean, says the man who has to cut the check later on. In addition to being in charge, the man in charge of the wheel, you have many other enterprises. I don't know them all. I know you've got a studio. I know you've got an artist management company. You're in publishing. Besides being the head guy at Asleep at the Wheel and getting in front of a crowd every night, what do you enjoy the most about those other ventures?
Getting music made, you know, seeing it through, figuring out the nuts and bolts of what's got to get done in order for me to hear music that I like by either myself or by the people that we work with, you know. The music's the reward. And to be able to look back and say, yeah, we made this piece of art or whatever you want to call it, you know. That's what keeps going. I'm not big on the business part of it. In other words, I don't get a lot of satisfaction out of the art of the deal or that, you know. I understand that it's a necessary evil in trying to get the music made. But other than that, I really like seeing that. And I like enabling people who have great talent. I like helping them find that talent and then expose it to the world. That's what it's about. That's my favorite thing. That's why I love the fact that we have so many people is because when they come out of a Asleep at the Wheel, they can play. You know, and it's like a little farm team. You know, I hate to say that, you know, because I'd rather be in the major league. But in a lot of respects, we're a farm team for a lot of
people. Well, I think a lot, most people would say you're in the majors, and those people
that
have come through.
Nice.
So a lot of those people that have come through the wheel went on and maybe went to the, you know, to another level. But without a doubt, folks, coming right at you, how a Jewish hippie Yankee went country, or the often outrageous history of Asleep at the Wheel, is going to be available at Amazon. It's published by the folks at UT Press, University Press, who, by the way, are knocking it out of the park these days with the books that they're putting out. It's going to be available at your favorite bookstore or Amazon. Ray Benson, good luck with this amazing book, and happy trails, my friend.
Well, Art, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And this is the first interview I've done for the book, so it's been fun.
Great. I'm Art Young. We're going to talk soon.
Oh, the Texas Playboys are on the air. Oh, bring them back, Leon.
We listen, everybody, from near and far. If you want to know who we are,
we're the Texas Playboys from the Lone Star State.
Now, if you like the way we play, listen while we try to say,
we're the Texas Playboys from the Lone Star State.
And all day long,
all day long,
you'll hear this song.
I'll sing this song.
If you get this song,
I get this song.
You can't go wrong. And how we're smile and make things bright, make you happy from morn to night.
We're the Texas Playboys from the Lone Star State.
The Outpost Radio On Demand, from the on-demand page of theoutpostlife.com.